I recently read the quote, "Gardening adds years to your life and life to your years." I'm not sure where that came from, but it seems now that science can back that up. High levels of stress, as we all know, can manifest physically in the body, leading to things like high blood pressure, chronic muscle tension, and even digestive problems. Stress is also said to trigger serious issues such as depression and anxiety. The good news is that studies are emerging that support the many ways gardening can help combat stress, improve our mental health, and even contribute to boosting our immune systems. A Swedish study reported that increases in time spent in the garden decreased incidences of stress. And a report in the Mental Health Journal cited that the act of gardening as something that reduces symptoms of depression and anxiety and improves mood and stress levels. Gardening is linked to increases in serotonin levels in our brains as well. And serotonin, as many of us know, is a naturally occurring chemical that is responsible for helping us to feel good. A lack of serotonin is present in those suffering from depression. And serotonin also acts to help strengthen the immune system. In a very interesting paper written by Richard Thompson, which was published in 2018 by the Clinical Medicine Journal of the Royal College of Physicians in the UK, and subsequently by the US National Center for Biotechnology Information and the National Institutes for Health, went so far as to say this, quote, "There is increasing evidence that exposure to plants and green space, and particularly to gardening, is beneficial to mental and physical health. Health professionals should, therefore, encourage their patients to make use of green space and to work in gardens, and should pressure local authorities to increase open spaces and the number of trees, thus also helping to counteract air pollution and climate change." End quote. Inspired by her own experience with how gardening made her feel, but also acknowledging that her home state of California is experiencing an increase in food insecurity and diet-related disease, my guest today, Claire Tuimote, designed educational modules as part of an on-farm experiential workshop series for adults. She'll talk to us today about her understanding of health and wellness as being complex, and her desire to offer, through gardening, opportunities to access emotional, physical, mental, and social well-being.
Our physical health is really integrated and interdependent and interconnected with all of the other aspects of health, like mental and social and emotional. So approaching holistic health like that requires new approaches to healthcare, besides going to the doctor and getting a prescription, and those are all wonderful things. But I think that there's a simplicity in just being outside and growing food. That's a complex thing in itself, but it can be more tangible, and I think that the approach has to be more interdisciplinary in order to think about the whole human rather than just different parts, and addressing the whole aspects or the whole person instead of just pieces of the puzzle.
Welcome to The Capstone, a new podcast celebrating the creation of a more just and sustainable food system. In the podcast series, you'll be hearing fresh new ideas from students who are finishing their Master of Science degrees in Sustainable Food Systems at Prescott College. We talk about their final capstone projects, and we hear from their advisors, leading practitioners, advocates, academics, and thought leaders about the significance of the capstone topic, especially in the context of creating food systems change. I'm your host, Lisa Trocchia. On this episode, I'll be talking with Claire Tuimote and one of her capstone advisors, Emily Mayer. Before beginning the Master in Sustainable Food Systems program, Claire worked as a product developer in the natural ingredients sector of the food science industry. After leaving that work, her passions led her to volunteer for sustainable businesses and nonprofits and to work on special projects in food access and local food production. After her upcoming graduation from Prescott College, Claire plans to engage with building and connecting food systems in San Luis Obispo County, with the long-term goal of working at the intersection of agricultural education and food as medicine. She's passionate about building community health through outdoor education and human-to-nature connection. In her free time, she can be found creating wedding cakes, backpacking through the Sierra Nevada mountains, tending the garden and chickens, or guiding tours at the Santa Barbara Botanical Garden. Welcome, Claire.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. And, you know, I've known you for a little while now and just learned about your vocation, about your in your bio, you create wedding cakes.
Yeah. It's more of a hobby. I started baking when I was in high school, and that just progressed through college and beyond, and just a few friends have asked me to make wedding cakes for their special day, so I obliged them.
That's great. Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, I've become obsessed with watching cake decorating videos on Instagram. Do you have any posted on Instagram?
I think I might have a few from the wedding day just to celebrate.
I'll have to check.
My friends, mostly, yeah. But also just to brag a little bit.
It's so awesome. I found that, like, I guess maybe it's just like, you know, we're recording this during the time of the COVID-19 restrictions and home a lot. And there's just something so zen about watching these videos. And I find it very soporific as well. So after being barraged with all the news of the day, I find it's a good way to relax before bed. So I will definitely look you up.
Yeah.
Well, so we're here anyway to talk about your capstone and not textured comb frosting. So yeah. I want to start by talking a bit about set and setting. The capstone project you designed is essentially an outdoor education curriculum built around a series of lesson plans. But what I'm interested to begin with is that although the workshop you've developed is replicable, you've chosen to focus on San Luis Obispo County in California where you live. So share with us a bit about your bioregion. How do you describe its boundaries? How have you come to understand it as a life place?
Well, San Luis Obispo County is the traditional lands of the Chumash and Tsleil-Waututh tribes. And the county lines are geographically sort of arbitrary. But the land here is distinguished by a few mountain ranges, one along the coast, which is called the Santa Lucia Mountains. And then there's an inland range that's called the La Panza and Gablian Range. And then in between those is a lot of valleys. So we have a lot of alluvial soil. So the soil is really rich and agriculture does really well here. We're also really fortunate to have a lot of microclimates, so we can have a lot of variety in our crops. And it's a beautiful place. It's known for its wine. And it's also, the way I describe it to people is that it's halfway between Los Angeles and San Francisco along the coast. And it's really a gem to live here.
It is a beautiful place. I remember I lived in California for almost 10 years and some of that time in San Diego and some of that time in San Francisco. And when we would get to that area, it would always be like, ah, what a breath of wonderfulness.
Yeah. And it's, you know, San Luis Obispo is a mouthful. So most of us call it slow. And I think that's a good descriptor for it because it is pretty slow, pretty mellow, pretty easygoing.
That's so great. I hadn't heard that. Well, how long have you lived there?
My family moved here when I was starting junior high, and I did my undergraduate here at Cal Poly University. Mm-hmm. And then I moved away for quite some time, almost 10 years. And then I came back because it's home, I guess. Mm-hmm. And And I've really come to enjoy it so much more as an adult and really been sort of enchanted by the place. And that was amplified by my study of the bioregion for the curriculum for the sustainable food systems coursework.
Yeah, I wondered about that because, you know, we have all these different ways of knowing about where we live. And I wondered if some of how you define and understand your bioregion came from being involved with a graduate program that's bioregionally focused, or you know, would you say there were other ways you came to know and understand about it?
Well, the study that I did for bioregional theory was definitely formative. And beyond that, I also really enjoy hiking around the area. And I've also, as you introduced me, I'm a docent at the Santa Barbara Botanical Garden, which is a native California plant garden. And so I've come to know a lot of the flora and fauna of this area through that work and just reading as well. There's a great book by Kat Anderson called Tending the Wild. And she talks about all the native California tribes and how they interacted with nature and the plants and the animals and lived off with the land. So yeah, it's been a great journey. And the start of that, I would say, was the bioregional theory class.
Nice. That was one of my favorite classes.
Yeah.
Well, so let's move forward. Can you briefly describe your capstone project for us? I know there are a lot of working parts, but just give us an overview.
Sure. It's going to be a series of workshops that will be taught to adults. And the target population would be lower income people. And I want they're designed to be taught outside. On a teaching farm or a community garden or any space where you can grow food, basically. And the goal of the project is to improve mental, physical, emotional, and social health for lower income folks. And I'll be doing that through a series of topics and just pedagogy from various different teachings, adult education, outdoor education, et cetera.
Well, that's great. And I think that, you know, the idea of diet-related wellness should interest everyone. But I'm wondering what your specific motivation was in choosing the project and situating it in an outdoor education format. What was your motivation in doing that?
Some of the volunteering that I've done over the years has been at educational farms, one in New York and one here in San Luis Obispo. And I just really, really enjoyed that volunteering work and learning about growing food and being connected to it in that really intimate way. And I could see from those experiences that they were good for me, for my mental health and my physical and emotional health. So, I thought that that would be a good place to start in offering that to other people. And I've always been an outdoors person. I prefer to be outside. So if I can learn outside as well, then I'm happy.
Well, you mentioned your goals, your measurable goals as being sort of improving health on several different levels. But do you have like sort of aspirational goals for the series?
I would like to be able to use these or implement these workshops at the educational farm that I volunteer at here in San Luis Obispo. They have a few educational programs, mostly for young people. And to add this to their curriculum, I think would be, talking to them, I think they would be excited about it, and it would be a great way to continue to build community around that farm and just in our county in general.
You talk about changing health outcomes as being a quote-unquote complex proposition. So why is that?
Well, the way I think about it is that as human beings, we're pretty complex creatures. Our health, usually when I think about health, I automatically think about physical health, but our physical health is really integrated and interdependent and interconnected with all of the other aspects of health, like mental and social and emotional. So approaching holistic health like that requires new approaches to healthcare, besides going to the doctor and getting a prescription. And those are all wonderful things. But I think that there's a simplicity in just being outside and growing food. That's a complex thing in itself, but it can be more tangible, and the approach has to be more interdisciplinary in order to think about the whole human rather than just different parts and addressing the whole aspect or the whole person instead of just different pieces of the puzzle.
So we talked a little bit about your motivation for the project, but I'm curious what it was specifically was it your research or your experience that had the most influence on you in terms of the decision to combine food-based wellness education and behavioral change with outdoor interactive agricultural education?
So in my undergraduate at Cal Poly University, one of their mottos at that school is learn by doing. So they have a lot of lab work, especially as a I was a food science major. So as a scientist, I had to do a lot of hands-on learning. And I really enjoyed that. I think it really solidified the knowledge and the skill building. So that was an influence in trying to have people learn hands-on. Mm-hmm. And then there was also a class that I took at Prescott College in environmental education, and learning about outdoor education of all ages, from children all the way up to adults, and the benefits, not just for academics, but for mental health. You know, it can help with depression and anxiety. And so then researching more into that, I found that there's a lot of studies about garden education and outdoor education that confirm that it is really beneficial for human health in myriad ways. So right. that was sort of what brought me to think about teaching outside.
Yeah, those are really interesting studies and wonderful in that they validate this kind of really hands-on experiential type learning as mm-hmm. also being very healing on a number of
yes.
levels.
Yeah.
So tell us about some of the topics you cover in the workshop series.
So talking to stakeholders in my area, people who work in public health, educators at the farm that I volunteer at, and educators for the students that are taking classes on the farm, they all encouraged me to keep the curriculum pretty simple and to have fun activities, to offer free food, mm-hmm. and just to keep it more fun and, you know, community building kind of focused. So some of the topics I came up with were soil and seeds, roots and greens, flowers and fruits, and herbs and flavor enhancers. So those would be the four different workshops. And it's just kind of building from the soil up to the harvest, kind of. That was my thinking in the spectrum of topics. And the workshops would be set up as the first hour would be hands-on gardening type work, and the second hour would be cooking with what we just learned in that first hour. So really trying to keep it light, but also get people interacting with plants and learning about cooking with new fruits and vegetables or new seeds or things like that, just to combine that nutrition education in that as well.
You talk about diet-related chronic disease and how this affects certain populations more than others. So I'm wondering, within the topics that you've selected and the way you framed the courses or the lessons, can you talk to this idea more specifically about how these things affect certain populations more than others and discuss the ways that the workshop series addresses this?
Yeah, so lower income populations typically don't have a lot of access to healthy foods. They live in inner cities where there's not grocery stores, or they live out rurally where again, there's no grocery stores. So getting access to fresh fruits and vegetables is challenging for those folks. And that because of that, they're eating a lot of processed food, a lot of low nutrition food. So diet-related diseases are chronic, typically. So diabetes and obesity. And there's stats in my county, in San Luis Obispo, where 60% of the adult population is overweight, and lower income populations are more susceptible to those health statistics. So in this workshop, that's why I wanted this workshop to be targeted towards lower income populations, in order to provide both health education as well as tangible food at the workshop. The second half of them will be cooking with fruits and vegetables, and encouraging them to try new things, or just to share their knowledge as well with the other class people in the class. New fruits and vegetables, new recipes, just to make it fun and not a chore, and not a not like a doctor's visit. That's kind of where my thought process was, and that's why there's a big component of cooking and nutrition.
That makes sense. And I know the actual implementation of the workshop series was not necessarily part of the capstone as you've written it, but I wonder if you've thought at all about that, maybe as a next step after graduation?
Yeah, I have thought about that, and I have talked to the farm where I volunteer about that possibility, and they would be excited about that. We would have to obviously get grant funding. They're a nonprofit farm, so we'd have to get grant funding and figure out the logistics of that. But I have thought about that, and I think I would enjoy it. And if it was successful, it could be something that they offer, once a year or twice a year or something like that. So,
yeah, that's neat that you have sort of folks that you can partner with or people in mind that may be interested at this point as a next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing that I thought about it was adapting it to online, just because we're not sure when this coronavirus is going to be quote-unquote over. So having an online option would also be important for our near future.
Yeah, absolutely. And it made me think about, just reflecting on all of this, because you're getting close to that graduation mark. And we are recording this during that sort of seesaw period of relaxing and then reinstating the, COVID-19 restrictions in many states. And it means that online education is becoming more popular than ever. Since this graduate program at Prescott was designed to be online from its inception, I always think of the students in the MSFS program as pioneers of sorts. But I think that many folks now are wondering about the quality of an online education. And I wonder if you could share what your experience was.
I found the program to be really high quality. I mean, very rigorous. And all of our professors are so knowledgeable in what they're focused on, and they're always ready to give you more material if you don't have enough already. Mm-hmm. And which I definitely had enough. just the quality of the resources that are provided and, the rich learning that I had, it does take a lot of self-discipline and motivation and time management, but I think that speaks to the quality. I mean, you have to spend a good amount of time on it. So, I would say that I had a positive experience overall.
Well, that's good to hear. Now I would like to take a quick moment and transition to bring in Emily Mayer, who was one of your advisors on this project. So Emily is actually an alumna of the Master of Science in Sustainable Food Systems program at Green Mountain College, and she graduated in 2013. Emily focused her studies on farm-to-school early care education, developing and implementing a farm-to-preschool curriculum and pilot program. So I'm sure within that she had a lot to offer you in terms of her experience that was probably helpful. She currently works for the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, administering various programs relating to urban agriculture, farmers markets, and increased food access for both farmers and consumers in the land of 10,000 lakes. So welcome, Emily.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi, it's good to talk to you. Well, listen, I would love for you to have a moment or two to ask a few questions or talk a little bit about this process of working with Claire on the capstone. So I'll just turn the mic over to you.
Thank you. Congratulations, Claire. This is very exciting to be sharing this conversation with you. So as a former Master in Sustainable Food Systems student as well, I understand the how the coursework focuses so much on your specific bioregion and taking the bigger thoughts of each class and then honing it down on where you're living and that area. I'm just curious if you've put any thought into the scalability of your project and what are your future plans, if any, for offering your workshops as a resource for other bioregions throughout the country or North America even?
I have thought about that, and I think that having all the material ready for someone who wants to implement it will be the end product of the project. So I'll have lesson plans and activities and logistics and things like that. So I think that it would be scalable. And the other thing is that you could adapt it to your region, wherever the facilitator is offering the workshops. So you could add in different, adapted to the different soil types and different crops that are typical of the area and different culturally appropriate foods. So I think that it would be scalable and usable by a lot of different populations.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have the bones for the lesson plans there. And it would be fun to see how they kind of shifted depending on where they were located.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great idea. And it may be even something that, further on in this next iteration of, trying to think about it growing outward, you could really sort of just offer a few little resources or places where facilitators could get that information or help to plug in, like you say, the soil types or the, plants and that kind of thing. That's neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the Master's in Sustainable Food Systems program can definitely seem like a bit of a whirlwind, combining your courses with your daily routines and your job and life in general. What are some of the key takeaways or your favorite memories from the entire Master's program?
Yes, I think my biggest takeaway was time management and setting a schedule and a routine for myself. Thankfully, my work that I do is time flexible, so I had an advantage in that. But I definitely knew that I had to treat my schoolwork sort of as a quote unquote after work hours activity. So that helped me to focus a bit more. And I would say that some of my favorite memories were doing my bioregional research and getting to know my place a lot more. I also, in doing that, well, similar to that, I wrote a paper for our history of agriculture class that focused on the women farm workers in California, most of whom are Latina, and just their journey from Mexico up to here, up to California. That really solidified place for me as well. And then of course our residencies. I was fortunate enough to go both years to residency. One was in Vermont and one was in Arizona. So I got kind of the best of both worlds there.
I wondered if you were going to bring those up because, you know, I'm not sure that we've ever really talked about that in the podcast, in that, yes, mm-hmm. it is an online program, but there are annual sort of, we used to call them residency at Green Mountain College. It's a colloquium now at Prescott. So yeah, tell us more about that experience.
Yeah, getting to know you in my cohort, we're talking on, you know, our discussion boards all the time. So then getting to know people face to face is really enriching, I think, and really relationship building. And so going to that first residency really connected us to one another, our cohort, and we've been keeping in touch since then on different mediums like Facebook or Slack or things like that. And we check in on Zoom every once in a while. We have little chats and things. So that's, it's really, I think it's so important to have those relationships to get you through the graduate program, to just to ask questions or to, you know, encourage one another and say, you know, this is a lot of work, but we can do this. And, yeah, so I think that was just a great gift to have those relationships and friendships.
And I think I remember hearing the last time we were all together that your cohort sort of independently set up a Slack channel, and I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just great. Well, listen, I want to thank you both, Emily and Claire, for being on the Capstone. And congratulations, Claire, for completing your final Capstone project.
Thank you so much. And thank you for hosting today.
Well, you're very welcome. All the best to you. And it was nice again to talk to you, Emily. And hope folks out there will tune in next time for our next episode on the Capstone.
The Capstone is a production of the online Master of Science program in Sustainable Food Systems at Prescott College. Audio production and original music by Chris Ridgway. I'm your host, Lisa Trocchia. Please join us next time.